I really think that wellness and non-traditional health players, whether that's e-commerce, who are great at shopping, right, are finding ways to access consumers where they want to be met and integrating already into that and driving healthcare on top of that so that we do become more preventative when we think about virtual or care overall and hopefully redefine the definition of healthcare. And that's fitness, that's food. I think we're seeing a lot of food. Food is medicine, all of that. I'm super passionate about that space. I think that's the very top of the value chain as we think about how do we change healthcare and really think about empowering better experiences for consumers and access all of the problems I could wax and wane about forever, but I'm really excited about that.
New choices, new players, new models of care. You know, consumer-first healthcare is everywhere. For us to build the future, to see what's new, we gotta look at the world from a different point of view. Consumer innovation ain't going away. I say it's here to stay. Today it leads the way. We gotta drop the silos. We're all the same team. Experience, business, tech, and marketing. Join us now. Join the revolution. Consumer first health is the evolution. Status quo or like status no. Yeah, this is the healthcare rap. Yo, come on, let's go.
Hey, welcome back to the leading podcast for consumer experience champions in healthcare. This is episode 333. I'm Jared Johnson, and here's what's going to go down today. We have the flavor of the week about Equinox's new longevity-based gym membership. What does it say about opportunities for fitness and healthcare to meet? And how can concierge-level services connect parts of the health and wellness journey? I'll talk about that. Then we continue season 11 with Michelle Davey, founder and CEO of Wheel. You'll hear how Wheel is trying to change engagement behavior and how they take a partnership approach to reinventing how care is delivered. It's time to dive right in. Are you ready? Let's go.
Flavor of the week.
Healthcare's latest move to the gym might have the biggest price tag yet, but it's a signal that the intersection between healthcare and longevity is growing. According to NBC, the New York Times, and other sources, on May 6th, high-end fitness chain Equinox launched one of the most expensive gym memberships in the world, a $40,000 per year program aimed at improving overall health and longevity. Equinox is teaming up with lab test startup Function Health to launch Optimized by Equinox, a personalized health program that includes everything from personal training and nutrition plans to sleep coaching and massage therapy. The program is part of the fast-growing market for longevity and wellness, where the fields of medicine, biotech, fitness, and nutrition are merging in the quest to slow the effects of aging. Members get tested for 100 biomarkers, everything from heart, liver, and kidney health to metabolic and immune systems, as well as fitness tests including VO2 max, strength, and movement range. An Equinox concierge pulls all the tests and data together and helps the member design a personalized plan to improve their overall health and fitness. The program also includes about 16 hours a month of coaching and training. Now, remember that price tag I talked to you about? The program costs $3,000 a month plus an Equinox gym membership, which brings the total to about $40,000 per year. But let's put aside the price tag just for a moment here. This isn't the first time that fitness and medicine have come together. Notably, CrossFit launched CrossFit Precision Care in October 2021, and the basics of their model seem similar to the Equinox program, although it seemed more focused on performance as opposed to longevity. At the time of that announcement, I said it's time to reimagine how fitness and healthcare can meet, and this is definitely a step in that direction. I also said that it was a reminder that as more people go upstream to address their health, in theory, they need fewer downstream services. That means specialty care providers and pharma potentially see fewer patients, and I don't see this as a bad thing. I think it's important to remember that better health is what we ultimately want, so I'm paying attention to the possibilities that can come when fitness combines with other forms of preventive care. Part of me even wonders if they could partner with someone like a Forward Clinic to take the relationship further into the primary care realm. But either way, it's important to note that this type of offering is most certainly not for everyone. So remember what this says about where the opportunities are right now for healthcare and fitness to meet, and how it could connect parts of the health and wellness journey that are disconnected for just about everyone at any price point. Let's make fitness a bigger part of the discussion about the consumer health experience and open our minds to what new models could look like. That's another way that we'll build the healthcare of tomorrow. And that's the flavor of the week.
The flow, the flow, the flow.
All right, everyone, let's get into the flow. Zane, how are you doing? What's new with you?
Not bad, Jared. Just keeping busy with work, and it got really hot this week in Detroit, and so we're all trying to stay cool up here and huddle in our apartments and keep tabs on what's going on in the digital health space.
Outstanding. I was going to ask you how hot it means in Detroit.
Like 90-ish. That's very hot for Detroit, especially coming from Canada.
Yeah, that's warm. Okay. Yeah, that's legit. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get right into this. We're really excited for our guest here. Can you please give it up for Michelle Davey? She's the founder and CEO of Wheel. Michelle, welcome to the Healthcare Wrap.
Hi, thanks for having me. And Zane, 90, come to Texas. I mean, we think 90 is a spring day here in Austin.
Oh my goodness.
But we have great AC.
That would be great. Maybe someday we'll come record a show from your offices down there. We'll have a big digital health event in Austin.
Yes, that would be amazing. You're welcome to come anytime.
Oh, perfect.
Let's work that out, man. Let's hit the road. Let's take the show out there to the people. Michelle, can you give us the 2-minute version of who you are and what you do? And then we'll get into what problems Wheel is trying to solve. But tell us about yourself first.
Yeah, happy to. So I'm Michelle Davey. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Wheel. I am super excited to lead the charge here at Wheel. My background is in healthcare, recruiting, operations, all of the roundabout ways to come to a place in my career and personal life where I knew that virtual care was really going to be the answer to a lot of the problems that we've been talking about for a really long time in healthcare. So started the company in 2018, which feels like a long time ago when we think about what's happened in healthcare over the last decade. So really excited for the work that we're doing here at Wheel to really reinvent how care is delivered. And as we look forward at the future of healthcare, we believe strongly that it's going to look very different. Our lives are more digitally enabled than ever. Everything from our banking, our shopping, our groceries, et cetera, has been digitally enabled. We believe healthcare is going to make that change as well. And actually, we're right in the middle of that. So Wheel is building the underlying infrastructure to connect all that care together, enabling virtual care. I just call it care, but enabling patients to access care wherever they need it and solving a lot of the problems, as I mentioned, that we've been talking about for a really long time.
And Michelle, what are some of those specific problems you just mentioned about just reinventing how care is delivered? What are some of the specifics here?
Yeah, so I think when we think about some of the areas that we're solving and the things we've been talking about as an industry that are unfortunate pain points in our U.S. healthcare system, first and foremost, is around access. Access from a geographic perspective as well as a socioeconomic perspective. We know that there's 80% of people that live in healthcare deserts. That's unacceptable in my eyes in healthcare. And personally, I was one of those people. I grew up in rural Texas, went undiagnosed for over 15 years with an autoimmune condition because of where I lived. And for me, like I said, it's a very personal story, but one that I share with many people across the country. So that's one of the problems that we're tackling from an access perspective. We are also tackling a rising patient demand and more patients than ever getting sick or accessing healthcare and decreasing supply pool of clinicians. We're not making enough clinicians. We're seeing clinicians retire at alarming rates, more clinicians leaving healthcare than ever. And we are solving that problem to make sure that not only do we have great clinicians, but we're enabling great high quality consumer experiences across healthcare. So we're really excited about those big areas. I could go on and on about the other problems in healthcare that we're tackling, but those two feel like the big ones that we really anchor around and making sure that we're driving just high quality experiences at scale. And that's what we obsess about here at Wheel every single day.
Well, I love that. And it really does. It feeds into just the current state of things in healthcare anyway. And I do find it fascinating how things evolve and how quickly some things evolve and how slowly other parts, especially when we get into digital health. You mentioned consumer experiences. That's music to our ears. We've been advocating for improving experiences at scale for years. And so that naturally, I think, resonates with where we come from on things. And I wonder if we even back up a little bit, you know, like a 30,000 foot view of looking at virtual care itself. There's so much information. And I think that there's probably some myths out there or just misconceptions
perceptions about where virtual care is right now, you know, middle of 2024. I'd love to just hear what you're seeing is in general, like a state of the state of virtual care.
Yeah, happy to. I think I was actually talking about this with another colleague a little bit ago, but I think one of the things that is important to point out is there is headlines and there is reality. A lot of the time we judge the state of healthcare, mm-hmm. but also virtual care in this instance, based on the headlines that we're seeing. Very often, that is not the reality that is happening under, I would say, at the working level, at the operational level. And there's reasons for that. I'm not going to go into like why media works a certain way versus operationally. So first and foremost, I think there is very stark differences between the headlines and the operational reality. I think if you read the headlines that telehealth is dead, virtual care is not scaling, we're seeing dropping rates, you know, in a silo, you can make those arguments, right? So I think in a silo, you can say we're pulling claims data for hospital systems and we're seeing that primary care, virtual care is dropping compared to mental health. That is true, probably in a factual sense. But what we're not talking about is actually the consumer companies that are building and scaling and really driving a predominant use case in urgent and primary and convenience care where patients are flocking, where consumers are flocking. I think Hims is an incredible example of consumer-driven healthcare that people want. And it's been awesome to see that growth. We're also seeing that in private companies as well. And that always doesn't turn over to claims data and what that looks like. So the data pool can be different there. I also think there is a natural evolution happening in the industry. Like I said, we're more digitally native than ever as consumers. We're seeing all of the other areas of our lives being disrupted or have already been disrupted by technology, by consumer care. We're watching e-commerce companies come into healthcare, which I think is a really incredible look at how do we drive consumer care? These people who are incredible at branded shopping experiences, bringing those to healthcare. Is it hard? Absolutely. There's a lot of barriers, but partners like Wheel are here to break those barriers down to make it easier so that they can be really great at what they do. And we can be really great at what we do, which is providing high level experiences in technology. So again, it's headlines and reality. We're seeing more patient visits than we ever have in our consumer programs. And that's really exciting. I think we still are evolving to make sure that virtual care isn't just seen as an initial stopgap. Do we actually drive care, reimagine care, and be that real partner to the patients and experience to the patients so that we ensure patients not only get that the care that they need right away, but can drive their experience holistically with virtual care. And I think that's what I'm most excited about. And we'll talk a little bit more about how we're doing that from a technology layer.
Yeah, I love that. I appreciate you pointed out that there can be a difference between the headlines and the reality, right? And I love that you also referred to Wheel as a partner here, because that's one of the themes for our show in this new season, the partnerships that are kind of powering new consumer experiences, and they're powering new ways that we engage with consumers all along their journeys. Can you tell us a little bit more about what types of partnerships Wheel is engaged in right now, and maybe some of the use cases, some of the ways that those, what's that making possible through those partnerships?
One of my favorite parts about Wheel when I talk to people or I get really excited is the breadth of our partners, really the different types of partners that come to Wheel to drive their innovation strategies. So everything from health insurers and payers to retailers to retailers to pharmaceutical companies to digital health and innovators. So we have a large breadth of different types of clients, which really gives us an industry view across different markets of healthcare about kind of what works and what doesn't work and different types of programs. So one of the programs we just announced recently in partnerships was with Owlet. Owlet is a very different type of healthcare company. And some may argue maybe it wasn't a healthcare company until this point. But what I think is incredible are use cases like that, where there is technology, in this case, hardware for babies, a little sock that slips on that can measure all types of different babies.
That's awesome.
Vitals. As a new mom, I have a 2-month-old. I use that sock and it helps me have a peace of mind. And so with Owlet having FDA approval, working with someone like We All, it enables us to look at the patient, which is a baby, and the caregiver, and make sure they can access this level of technology. But then also kind of thinking about closing that loop of care over time, right? So when alarm bells do raise or there's questions from the caregiver, you know, who do they want to talk to? They want to talk to a clinician. And if their pediatrician's not available, we're a great option for that. And so really peace of mind is important in that partnership as well as access. So super excited about that one. And we're seeing more and more healthcare hardware companies, med devices, really turning into consumer-driven companies. And I think Owlet's a great example of that. We're excited to be powering many of those. Also is an example of kind of a non-traditional player in this space is GoodRx and GoodRx Care. So We All powers GoodRx and GoodRx Care, incredible amount of high quality patient visits through their platform. And we power all of their technology, but also delivering that care behind the scenes. And so we reach people all across the US, all throughout the day. And what I think is incredible about GoodRx is a lot of people think about GoodRx as a coupon. You're going to the pharmacy, you get a coupon, but think about kind of the breadth of services that you can have. So normally when you're getting that coupon, it's because you've already seen a physician, which may have taken, you know, anywhere 15 days to 15 months to get into, and then you're getting a coupon to get that care. When we think about adherence is really important, is how quickly can you get to the medication that you need? Going from a coupon to actually providing that care up front, and then getting them down to the pharmacy with a coupon in hand, driving a lower cost of care, but then adhering. How often are you coming back? We make sure that we're doing follow-up visits, those types of care for GoodRx Care patients, and providing a great experience. So not only are you getting lower cost healthcare connected to your pharmacy and coupon it, you're actually making sure you can afford that care in an ongoing way. So we're really excited to power GoodRx as well. And then as we talk about some of our new innovations, using our new innovations to drive some new care programs for them as well.
Michelle, a lot of folks that listen to this podcast, and we're trying to expand the audience, so make sure you share the podcast when we get you the link. But a lot of folks that listen to us are actually more so from the legacy health system side. And so definitely wanted to ask, do you all partner with health systems? So health systems being traditional, like hospital-based institutions on their telehealth, or is it mostly these these innovative consumer companies where you found the more opportunity for partnership?
When we first started We All, we intentionally thought about where are we going to go to market? Where are we going to wedge in? And, you know, one of the things that was clear was driving with the innovative players in healthcare meant that we could really build new technologies, new ways of working, new workflows, and reimagine care from the ground up. That was incredibly successful over the years. What we've seen over the last several years is that innovation is needed by many in healthcare, innovative payers, innovative pharmaceutical companies, large tech companies, whoever's coming into this space. And so when we think about CIS, it's not that we don't support systems, but it's really that We All is a whole new way to think about virtual care and driving connected care into your existing programs and your owned assets. And so when we think about the ideal partners, it's innovative partners who want to reimagine that, who it's not that you have to throw ROI out the window and drive and care. Actually, we want to build you better models to drive ROI, and we know how to do that. But it's really about those types of partners who want to come to us and do something different. And we've done it so many times and at scale now that partners and systems who have those innovation arms or just have that appetite for innovation are the right partners for We All. Where we're not as great, transparently, I always like to talk about when not to work with We All, is when you want to just plug us in and kind of fall into your old workflows and kind of just have a telehealth 1.0 experience. that's not Wheel. And there's other players in the space that can be a great option for that.
That helps me place you all in the landscape of the folks that are out there doing telehealth. And I love your mission leaning into working with those innovative companies. From time to time, Jared and I, actually once a year we do it, we'll make predictions on where we think digital health is going. And one prediction we've held on to, which we think we're right, is that the future of digital health will be connected fitness. And so, you know, whether you're doing it or not, would love to maybe get your foresight opinion. Like, do you think there's an opportunity for whether it's Wheel or some telehealth company to actually start working with brands we would never expect? Like maybe it's LA Fitness, or maybe it's the Four Seasons, or maybe it's Peloton, and starting to integrate more healthcare into their wellness and fitness work. What do you think about that concept?
Absolutely. We did a recent study a few months ago that showed that virtual care, 1/3 of respondents said that virtual care helped them access preventative care. And so that starts in wellness, at least in our definition today of what is healthcare. Typically, when we talk about healthcare in the US, it's sick care, right? And so wellness is just everything above that. It's the preventative side. And it may be something that looks non-traditional. I 100% believe that we're going to see non-traditional players come to healthcare and virtual care. And I believe that because we're seeing it every single day in our partnerships. But more importantly, that's what consumers want. It's really hard to, I mean, you open your phone and you have all your connected fitness apps. And oftentimes those are the ones you're using, right? Those are the ones you're checking into every single day, that you're getting alerts and gamification. You know what you're not checking every single day? Your healthcare app, or if it's even downloaded, right? So I really think that wellness and non-traditional health players, whether that's e-commerce, who are great at shopping, right, are finding ways to access consumers where they want to be met, and integrating already into that and driving healthcare on top of that, so that we do become more preventative when we think about virtual or care overall, and hopefully redefine the definition of healthcare. And that's fitness, that's food. I think we're seeing a lot of food. Food is medicine, all of that. I'm super passionate about that space. I think that's the very top of the value chain as we think about how do we change healthcare and really think about empowering better experiences for consumers and access all of the problems I could wax and wane about forever, but I'm really excited about that. I think we're going to see more non-traditional players. However, I think it's an important point out, healthcare is hard and it's regulated and it's really difficult to do on your own. And when we talk about we all about why we're here, it's really to break down those barriers of innovation. When there is barriers for innovations because everybody says how hard it is and how regulated healthcare is, it means that we have less competitiveness in the market. We have siloed experiences for consumers. So we're here to break all that down and help those companies navigate this next phase of their business, which can be quite daunting on the surface.
Because you're talking as thinking about an earlier discussion we had this week with a healthcare leader who was working on this concept. And I guess it's not totally new, but virtual care as an amenity. And so working with big developers of, you know, old folks, retirement villages, and thinking about how can we bring in, whether it's telehealth and like even actual physical doctors on the property to like do healthcare right there, right? Or we even talked about like, why aren't hotels thinking about for an extra fee? Like, you know, maybe if you're at a premium status level with one of these hotels, having that, maybe there's like a urgent care service that kind of follows you along and can be delivered through the TV in your hotel, right? Like, why not? I think it's worth exploring in some cases. And so, I don't know, we're super excited about this space to see where it all evolves to. Wanted to ask a little bit, maybe to change up the conversation around orchestrating that experience. And so I know you talked about, I loved your answer about, you know, if partners want to come to you just for just your average, you know, plug and play telehealth experience, that's not who you are, who you all are. You are, you know, driving, you know, cutting edge on, you know, advanced workflows, I presume, you know, best in class consumer experiences. And so I'm curious if you could talk more about that. How are you doing that? What does it look like? You know, Jared and I in our day jobs, more or less, we're digital health advisors. And we typically help incumbents think through this. And where we always land is that, you know, some of them are good at connecting the right tech, but they're terrible at, in a sense, putting the icing on the cake and making sure the design flows. It's intuitive. It makes sense how to navigate a virtual visit. And so I'm curious if you could just speak to that. How do you all think about it? How have you all like worked design into your product to make sure that consumers actually want to use this thing and your partners want to use you?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've really evolved along with the industry and tried to push the industry forward in driving those consumer experiences, but also all of the underlying tech that makes that happen. So we think about not only the great workflows for patients and how do you want to access that care. It's very top of mind, and we do a lot of human-centered design around our care programs as well as our patient experiences. But we also bring a lot of technology, and I think this is really important because when we think about telehealth 1.0 and where the industry's been, it was really about recreating a doctor visit and bringing that online. And quite frankly, that's probably where healthcare was at that time, but we've seen that that's not what patients or consumers want any longer. It's not what clinicians want either. They don't want to work in that way. And when your clinical base is not happy with the technology, we also know that they don't use it, right? And so how do we design better workflows for our patients and clinicians so that that friction is removed from the system and the clinicians can concentrate on great care, and then the patients can really be navigated seamlessly through that. So all to be said, kind of how do we tackle that? So we've really been in the forefront of delivering technology where a lot of people deliver humans for that. And the reason why we've taken a tech approach from many different markets, and you look at even our team is made up of healthcare people meet tech people from large marketplace companies like Lyft and Uber, all the way to platform companies like Spotify and broader platform companies that we've brought in to build this next generation of healthcare technology. And now I can't leave a show without talking about our new Horizon platform, which we just announced, which is an AI-driven platform. And we're really using all of the data and real-time data that we all has across millions of patients of visits that we do every single year and driving better experiences for our patients, our clinicians, and our partners to drive that care. So like I said, a lot of different ways that we think about it, human-centered design on the patient side. And we, quite frankly, we have the data to back it up, right? We've done millions of patients of visits every single year in this model. We are showing that consumers are coming back at unprecedented rates compared to a lot of the market data. We're driving better care models than ever. And Horizon is a continued evolution of that. And really a nod to what Wheel is here to do, push the next horizon of healthcare. And our technology is at the forefront of that. It will enable, and I think an important point of like what's not working in healthcare today or virtual care. One of the things that we've seen through our data, but also just as an industry, is like consumers don't come in and think, you know what, today I'm going to go online and look to solve my hypertension. Like they just don't, right? Or I'm going to go online and solve my diabetes problem. Like it just doesn't happen. And it's a lot of pull and to get those people in. And those programs, while really innovative and really cool and have a ton of research behind them and probably better experiences, just aren't getting the utilization by patients because this is naturally not what you go online for. But you know what we have seen is a lot of patients go online for weight loss, who want, you know, maybe we could use an extra 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 15 pounds. And now I'm willing to kind of come online, engage in my healthcare in a new way. Well, what is happening in kind of the 1.5 model, I'll call it, is that patients were coming on for weight loss. We treated them for weight loss. We just kind of left them there. What the Horizon platform allows and enables via AI is that you come online for weight loss, we will send you to a lab or ship you labs directly to your home. So all of that integrated to the platform, We get those test results back. We see that there's a critical value. Maybe you do have diabetes or hypertension. The technology can flag that alone and then send you on a new journey. We're here to help you with your weight loss, but we also want to help you with your hypertension. And we also want to help you with your diabetes. And we have those care programs built out that it's seamless. You no longer have to go across all these different platforms to try and manage that care. So for our clients and our partners, it means that you can really start to deliver a comprehensive connected care experience instead of having all these fragmented pieces and trying to stitch together where this patient ended up. Or worse for the patient is you came in, you received your weight loss plan, but then you just went away. And we knew, or we should have known, that you needed to be seen for hypertension, diabetes, or some other care condition, and we turned a blind eye. And that's unacceptable from the U.S. healthcare system in general. And virtual care, like I said, maybe not 1.0, because I don't even think we were thinking about condition management. 1.5 in condition management was really about, okay, standing up those unique care models. Now it's really like this next horizon is about how do we connect it all together to ensure that patients aren't left with a blind eye, or clinicians also have the tools at their fingertips to ensure that their recommendations can fit the needs and personalization of those patients. So our technology takes on the burden of that, because think about as a clinician trying to know all of that information for every single patient. It's impossible. So we take it all that way.
That's fantastic. I'm so excited for this episode to be published, because I think there's still this perspective amongst the community that telehealth, virtual care, however you want to call it, is very episodic. And what you just described is actually a longitudinal, you know, chronic disease management program plus. I don't think, you know, the large swaths of the industry are waking up to realize that this now exists. And so for those laggards who just want to point fingers and say, oh, telehealth is just for urgent care. Well, you can use it for urgent care, but now there are disruptors like Wheel out there who are truly pulling people along and connecting them where it's appropriate to just about everything that they need. So that's fantastic.
Absolutely. And I think I'll challenge the, like, because 100% do people think that telehealth is just this very episodic thing and it's used better for episodic care or behavioral health, but we'll put that on ice for now, right? But that's what people are engaging in. I think that is so important to underline and highlight, is like, we shouldn't try and change the way that human nature engages in our healthcare today, besides wellness and things like that. But one of the most important things is we are trying to change an engagement behavior most of the time, saying, oh, come for your diabetes, come for your hypertension. We're going to market to you in all these different ways. But the actualization is, yes, they're coming for that episodic care. They're coming for that convenience care programs, whether that's we're coming in because as a woman, I'm experiencing hair loss. Well, maybe I'm actually perimenopausal and we're treating the symptom in episodic care, but not the long term. And I think that's the important piece, is what Wheel is not trying to do is change the buying behaviors or change the way that humans interact, quite frankly, and kind of go against what we know is working and look at what is working. But how do we actually solve for some of those holes that we know that are present, that patients are getting a blind eye turned, that patients do want to interact in this way? And quite frankly, you know, I think challenge the assumption that the next generation of healthcare is going to be owned by a PCP in the office. It just, you just look at the stats of how many people have PCPs and it's declining at a rapid rate.
I don't really even have one, to be honest.
I'm probably the perfect use case for digital care and virtual care, but being a new mom, you know, I do interact with the healthcare system quite a lot at this phase, but it's where I imagine a better world is where I want to interact with it, right? And driven by the patient, driven, but still not being ignored for underlying issues. And that's really what we're trying to change. And the beauty of technology and AI is it's there to make it better And I believe AI really rips down the barriers of incumbency. And actually, if you're in an incumbent and not thinking about new ways of doing things, I think that's where we're going to see a lot of things fail and fail quickly. And that's going to be the headline, right? That's the headline we're reading, not the ones where all of these innovation partners are doing something different. And in 5 years, I believe those are going to be the headlines. Those are the really big companies that we should be talking about.
To be honest, I'm just so intrigued by some of these data points and representations you made. Maybe in a next show, we can go deeper into what does Wheel know about telehealth that maybe other views don't know, because I think it'd be very beneficial to our audience. So we'll have
to watch. We're trying to do better in reporting out some of that data at an industry level. And I think that's one of the reasons, I mean, as corny as it is, why we named Wheel Wheel. We really do believe that we are here to make an entire industry better. And really, the wheel was invented over 5,000 years ago to move something that one human can't move alone. That's what we're here to do, is work together with partners, both our existing partners as well as ecosystem partners, to move healthcare forward. We do know a lot. That's oftentimes why we work with certain partners, is because our job is to help lead them and be the experts in the room about what's happening. So we have been publishing it, and we'll continue to publish every single year our insights and kind of what we see as the future, because there's a lot happening. And I think that's the really cool part. It's just like, that makes me hopeful for the future, is how much innovation is happening right here, right now. And I think we get a front row view of that. And so when everybody's down and out about virtual care or telehealth, I'm like, oh, it takes a little while to get those engines roaring. But once they're up, it's pretty incredible to see not just the headlines about it, but also the patients and the use cases and how quickly clinicians adopt this new technology and quite frankly, get back to what they're passionate about. And that's just providing healthcare.
Yep. So what I'm hearing then is a yearly show with Wheel to go over that report.
We'll do it here in the office.
That'd be great. Over to you. I need breakfast tacos, which I've heard Austin has great, great tacos. Over to you, Jared.
For sure. The last question we'd like to ask, if you could pick one guest for us to invite on a future episode of the podcast, who would that be and why?
Wow, that's a hard one. There's so many great people in this space. Going on the theme of innovation and challenging the status quo, I'm going to choose Priyanka Jain, Evie. She is incredible. I think what Evie is doing for women's health overall is pretty incredible. Talk about just a standout founder challenging the status quo, but also really publishing their data and insights. So Women's Research Day, they put out a book this year called like 1,000 effed up facts about women in research. So just a really incredible player to push it forward. So I would nominate Evie and Priyanka Jain and the team there. I'm really intrigued about what they're doing and continue to follow their journey.
All right, Zane. We'll have to line that one up. That sounds awesome.
We'll track him down.
For sure. Well, and with that, thanks so much for your time, Michelle. That's a wrap for this episode. And thanks for giving us so much to think about and to be hopeful for in the industry. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with Michelle Davey from Wheel. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Jared and Zane.